everybody, welcome to the TMT Podcast. This is your host, David. With me, as always, is my fellow host, Jamie.
That's the British one, which is me.
Yep. And this is episode... Oh, dear. Is this five or
episode
six?
Episode, oh, dear, six.
It's six?
Yeah.
Okay. It's episode six. And another game has come out since then that is in my interest.
Is it really? You've never mentioned that.
Only for the last two or three podcasts have I talked about it. And it's come out... I am talking about, of course... I almost got the name of the game. Mass Effect Andromeda.
Dave doesn't remember.
And it's come out to a...
lukewarm response?
Controversial is the word I was going for, yes.
Yeah.
There are some things people are unhappy about. There are some people... who are frustrated with things.
Not you, though.
Since it is still freshly out, and part of the way I would have to review it to explain both why I enjoy it and what people are likely upset about would be involve a lot of spoilers. I'm just going to give a very general review. Yes, there are animation issues where the facial animation is not up to par as it used to be. The voice acting, considering the fact that most of the voice actors seem to be relatively new, they actually do a pretty good job. And, yeah, a lot of them, like the two voice actors for Ryder, are almost new. One of them has no credit whatsoever. Another
One
only has three or so games that are credit, yeah.
Because
the thing to remember is the strike is going on right now
for actors.
That sells in front, so they wouldn't have been able to get these people out there for that.
Wait, would that have affected Mass Effect, though? Surely voice acting is recorded pretty early on in the game development, right?
Well, this did start like a year or two ago.
Oh.
And I don't know if that would have included Andromeda, which EA was one of the ones that was being striked against.
Ah, maybe then.
Yeah.
Could be.
So that's going on right now. But otherwise, I'd say the voice acting is not bad. It's not great, but I feel like they do a good job. And then the other issues that people have with it, it would be hard to explain because it's based on a... I'll talk about it in detail more in 2 weeks. Remind me about that because it's hard to explain without spoiling anything now. Because I know I also
spoilers.
Still... Yeah, I also know I want to get you to play it.
Dude.
But considering both its faults and its flaws, it may not be a great game, but still a very good game. And I would give it a solid 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Combat is incredible. It's been revamped. It's great now. No longer do you think, cover comes up to my hips. Surely I'm going to be doing something here. So it's incredibly much more fun. The worlds you can explore are actually rather large, and there's quite a bit to do. There's a lot of diversity in environment. And some of your new crew have just these amazing, outstanding personalities. And I'm not going to mention any of them to leave that spoiler-free. So, if you enjoy Mass Effect, I still am going to encourage you to pick it up. The first hour or so is a slow burn, but I'm enjoying it. I'm about 15 hours into it, and I'm still going.
Good. I've heard that this game moved away from the original combat system into a new... Like, I heard the originals are more cover-based, and this is a bit more open.
There still is plenty of cover that you can hide behind, but they've added two new mobility options, where you can jump back up, and you can also dash about instead of rolling. And it has greatly improved your mobility, and it feels so natural that I find myself just hopping around without any requirement to by the game. It just happens. And this is from the guy who prefers to use a sniper rifle.
Yeah, that's good. It's good when a game adds something new to the game and it works and it pays off. It's always good to hear.
Mm-hmm. It may not do everything right, but it does more than enough. Like, there's a lot of new things that it tries that doesn't quite hit right, but that doesn't detract from the game entirely. It's still a very well put together game.
Okay. That's good to hear. I'm glad you're enjoying it, because when I heard some of the controversial reviews, as you said, I was a bit worried about you. I didn't want it to disappoint you, but at the end of the day, as long as you are a fan of the game or enjoying the game for what it is.
Yeah, like I said, I acknowledge the flaws. It may not be, oh my gosh, best game ever, but it's still a good game, and that's all it comes down to.
That's definitely it. That's all that matters in a game, is whether or not you as the consumer are enjoying the game.
All I need now is for Jake to freaking come online so we can get the game, so we can play Mass Effect Andromeda multiplayer.
What's the multiplayer? Is it Horde mode kind of thing, or is it an actual...
Yeah, more or less. It's Horde mode, and you have a couple objectives every once in a while. Okay. Just like it's the same thing that used to be during Mass Effect 3, except it's a bit more refined. Because Charlie, I thought he was going to get it for the 4, like me. He got it for Xbox One.
You need to up your team communication there, Dave.
Yeah. And I don't want to buy the game twice, so I'll probably just wait. Here's the thing. My sister and I share Xbox Gold. Okay. So any game she gets, I get, and vice versa. So she has access to my gigantic library. So when she gets Andromeda for the Xbox One, then I'll have it there too. It's like paying me back for all the Overwatch that I'm allowing her to play. I told her to download that game about 2 weeks ago, and she just gave it a try because she's like, "Eh, it's the only game she's played now, and she's twice my rank." I was like level 30. I'm like level 31. She's in the 60s.
Overwatch is that kind of game. If you get into it, you get into it.
Yeah. I just don't seem to play it except when I'm playing it with friends. I don't like. It's not the first game I think to log into.
I'm exactly the same way. It's much more enjoyable playing with people than by yourself.
Hashtag low rank bros.
Hashtag, yeah.
Yeah. Because I enjoy the game. It's just, I have other games I want to play first. Like Mass Effect, there's Legend of Zelda still. I need to finish playing that.
Yeah, but
there are a lot of giant games for me to play right now. Yeah. It's hard.
Well, the thing is for me is, if I'm playing by myself, I want to do like a campaign or a story or like advance that kind of thing. Like, I don't want to put a load of time into just doing multiplayer by myself kind of thing. Because I'm a social multiplayer guy. I like talking to people and having the discussions while I play multiplayer. Kind of it.
Yeah, if I'm doing a multiplayer, I want to have someone I know I can talk to.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why at the moment I'm mostly just playing Zelda by myself.
Yeah. Plus the bonus when you're playing by yourself like that is that you can listen to something in the background. Or maybe that's just me. I listen to videos. Okay, because there's something I've been wanting to talk about on this episode for a long time. So that, by the way, I guess we've moved on from Mass Effect.
Well, in 2 weeks you'll spoil the game for everyone.
In 2 weeks I'll talk more about why I feel like people are disappointed with it and what it does right. But one of the reasons, one of the videos I've been listening to that I don't think I've talked about on the podcast yet, if I have, I'll talk about it again anyway, is Mass Effect. No, dang it.
You got Mass Effect on the brain.
I do. I played it just 7 hours ago. I played it until I went to bed.
And you woke up and started the podcast, and then you'll probably play it after this.
But, I'm sorry, I just found that funny. One of the videos series that I've been watching on YouTube lately is Critical Role. Which you don't know is a bunch of voice actors playing Dungeons & Dragons with Matt Mercer as their DM. You'll know him as McCree, Jamie.
Yeah.
And they've got characters like Travis Willingham, Laura Bailey, Marissa Ray. Probably one of my favorites is Ashley Johnson's also there. You have... Shoot, what's Sam's last name? I feel bad for not knowing this. But he plays a gnome bard named Scanlan. He took a shit once on somebody's bed.
In real life?
Or the no, in the game. Oh, okay. No, Jimmy, he does this all... It's all acted out in real life. But it's really fun, and it's really engaging to watch. Matt Mercer is probably the greatest DM who will ever live. Like, just the way he creates... And he has all this stuff, like... Folders upon folders of stuff for cities, people, files, quests, and he has a voice for every individual character. Like, I'm not sure how he pulls it, does it?
Where's a voice actor? He's gotta be good at that.
Well, I mean, like he's so great that at some point he'll just like watch him. It's like, how the heck does he do this? Like, he takes it a cut above.
Hmm.
Like, there's one example I can think of exactly where they asked to stop. They said, "All right, well, we're gonna stop an NPC." Just a random guy in the street to ask directions. And, like, without any warning, he's like, oh, okay. And he pulls an accent out of his ass. So the guy has his own unique voice. He gives him a name, he gives him a purpose, and he gives him a side quest with this guy. Just all off the top of his head. And one of the players just watches him and goes, like, I don't know, you've been doing this for 2 years, but I still just get blown away. He's a pretty beyond an outstanding DM.
Well, DMs have got to take on the role of everyone else in the whole world, really, haven't they?
Yeah, and they have to have all sorts of stuff prepared that he does. And right, I think right now, they do it every Thursday on Twitch. And right now, they're up to about over 80 episodes. I'm still trying to catch up.
Yep.
So I'm just watching the backlog on YouTube nonstop.
Oh, that's going to be great. You finish the episode, you just go into the next one.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, the episodes can be anywhere from 2 to 4 hours long.
Oh my god.
They're playing D&D. It's not a casual experience.
No, I'm aware.
Yeah. But I think... I'm in the 40s right now, so I'm almost halfway there.
Almost finished. And then you'll be like waiting week by week.
But that'll be okay, because then I'll be caught up. I can survive that.
It's just getting to the end.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you're... playing out while you're watching that while playing Zelda
and Mass Effect now.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
So I'm quite into that, but I'm doing it with I'm currently playing Zelda while watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because I've watched it.
Okay.
Oh.
I got to ask you about that show. I always hear Chibi and Hunter talk about it. I tried to watch the first episode and it was just kind of for me. Is it really that great?
It depends. The first season, the first couple of seasons, looking back on it, is when it was done very cheaply. Like, you've got to imagine the first episode was like them with like a handy camera kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, but it's the humor, like, is you got to watch it for like the humor and kind of thing. It's just because it continues and it's like, they know the characters they're playing so well that they can just play it off perfectly. I've currently got to a season where one of the guys gets really fat, which he did in real life just because he thought it'd be a funny scenario for the show, so he just spent a season where he was fat and then lost all the weight before the next season. It's a really interesting thing, but like, it's... that was a good... Yeah, but it's like, the more you watch it, the more you just pick up on their little things, and into like the second season is when they really rough out the characters. There's a few changes that come to the characters much later on.
So the second season is where I should start watching it, or I have to watch it first?
Let me think. You kind of have to watch the first because they introduce certain characters that you don't want to kind of lose or miss out on or forget or something like that.
Alright, can I skip the first episode? Because I was not enjoying it.
What's the first episode? The gang get racist.
It's like one of them is like insist trying to prove that he's not racist by hiring a black promoter, and it's like I don't know. It just seemed kind of like the humor. The jokes weren't hitting me there. It wasn't funny.
The first episode isn't that great. You could skip that one. Basically, the outcome.
Like you and I do a great job of being a mock racist.
Yeah. Basically, the outcome of that episode is basically that it turns out the black guy's gay. And so he's turned their club into a gay club. That's kind of the joke.
I mean, if they'd set that up properly, that could have been hilarious. But maybe it's just, I mean, maybe I'm just not the type of guy who enjoys Always Sunny humor. I guess we'll find out. Once I get caught up with Critical Role, I'll be able to watch that in my other show that I have on hold right now.
It depends on the episode, because sometimes the premises are really wide. Like, there's an episode where two of the members think they've eaten human meat.
You told me about this one.
Okay. There's an episode where two of them get addicted to crack. And there's an episode where they buy a boat.
Yeah, I guess I'll find out, because I already have another show that I'm waiting to catch up on. So when I eventually do get there, I'll let you know. It could be in a couple months.
Yeah. I say I enjoy the show. The first season's definitely rough. The second season's a little bit off. By the second season, the main four have figured out their characters, but because they introduced Danny DeVito's character, they're still trying to figure out what his character is in that season. But by season
his character, Danny DeVito is Danny DeVito.
Actually, Danny DeVito just goes nuts. He starts off as the normal
Danny DeVito.
It's quite funny. Like, he starts off as the, like, just like sophisticated, like the normal guy.
Wait. Don't spoil it for me.
Right, let's just say
We'll just say things happen.
You can see the character change. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, once it gets going, it gets great. It's probably maybe the first two seasons are a little bit of a drag, but as I said, I've watched them once properly, and now I'm kind of just watching it in the background.
Yeah.
And like occasionally I'll get taken back by a joke and rewind and watch that bit properly, but besides that, it's just in the background while I play Zelda.
Huh. One day we'll complete them all. Yes.
Speaking of Zelda, I discovered something this week in Zelda.
What did you discover?
I discovered that in the inventory system, you can press the Y button and it sorts your inventory.
Oh, yeah. I discovered that too. However, I just don't like the way it sorts my inventory, necessarily. Because I can't quite make sense of it.
I like the way it sorts the food. Because it puts all the normal food in the first bit and then puts all the other kind of food like behind it. Like, you press that and you get all the good food first, and then you get all the monster stuff after that, and then you get like all the jewels and building materials.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I might have to do that.
I use it for that, specifically for cooking, because what I was doing is I was like picking the meat and it was in my third slot, and then I was moving to my first slot to get like mushrooms that go well with the meat, and I was moving around trying to find the salt, and then I pressed Y button and they all went in one folder. I was like, oh my god, that's so much easier.
That does sound pretty nice. I haven't bothered to sort my food. I'll have to try that. I usually sort my armor and my weapons, and that was it.
Something else I discovered is that I got to a tower that was covered in thistles, in vines, that I couldn't jump over. And I spent maybe ages trying to think, can I climb? Could I paraglide?
I think I know where this is, because I've been there already.
I shot them with a fire arrow, and they all just burnt down.
Yep. I did not paraglide. Yeah, that's pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah. It took me about 20 minutes to think of doing that. I like that it doesn't tell you how to solve certain things, and you just have to guess.
Yes. Yeah, it is pretty fun. You just have to, like, use your... You have to be creative, which, you know, is all, what puzzle solving is all about.
Yep. I also, there's definitely a few shrines and stuff that I've done in the wrong way, that I think. Like, there's certain puzzles that I've solved.
The wrong way?
By that, I mean, there was one that there was all this purple liquid stuff. Like, I don't know what it's called. It's like evil. It's the same stuff you find in the Divine Beasts. But it was all over the ground and all over the tower, and I couldn't jump up. So what I did is I just put a load of wood down, set that on fire, and that caused the updraft, which I used to paraglide up above it and then start climbing. But I'm pretty sure there's an actual way to do that.
That works. I mean, that actually sounds really clever. That's probably not what I would have done. I probably would have just bushed my head straight through, like, oh, I'm going to get this stuff.
Yeah, like, that's the kind of thing that makes me want to look at the game up online, like, watch playthroughs and see how other people do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, considering to get to that tower is probably, like, however certain amount of time, and other people might not be doing the towers immediately, I could do a tower now that other people in their playthroughs and Let's Plays won't get to do for like another couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm having fun. I kind of went off the whole tower build, the tower climbing stuff, because I found some in areas that were a little bit annoying. Like this one area, there's a volcano area.
I've completed my map. I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
Pro tip for the really cold areas, if you find the Rito Village, they have the cold resistant gear.
I think I've done the cold. Is that a proper cold area? Because I know it's a little cold area on the starting area.
There is on the left. There's a freezing mountain, which you'll... Okay. Even with your just Duble, you will not survive. You need all the stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'm currently... I'm currently trying to get to the... what are they called? The big guys in the volcano area.
Yeah, you won't do it by yourself. I'll say that.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, though. I'm getting to points where I just start going, like, doing a bunch of little side quests. Like, I got a quest from a guy that's like, find the fairy. So I find the fairy, do the fairy, and then go back to him and tell him about it. I told him about it, and he just goes to me, all right, thanks. And I said, and then, like, the thing was like, anything else? And he goes, oh, did you think I was going to give you a reward? Oh, no. And that was it. Like, he didn't give me a reward or anything. He just told me about... He said, do you know where the fairy is? Go find the fairy, then come back and tell me about it. I tell him about it. He's like, oh, thanks. It's really funny.
My new thing in that game is I'm just starting to get taken away by how gorgeous it looks.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Like, beautiful. It is breathtakingly amazing. And it's like, all the different locations, too.
Dude, there's times where I'll just be in a building or something. Or, like, I'll be on the tower, I'll turn around, and I just see a dragon flying by, and I just watch it, and I'm just like, God.
I found more than one now.
I've seen two.
There's definitely more than one. Yeah, there's a green one, there's a red one. I found your red one. Like, I was like, oh, I guess the green one comes in here. And I took a second look, and I was like, wait a minute. That's not green.
I think there's element dragons.
Yeah, I think there is. It's just... It is such a... Between that and Mass Effect, I'm going to have stuff to play for the rest of my life.
Like, I'm just looking at the game and I'm seeing, like, the dragons and stuff like that. I'm thinking, surely they don't tie into the main quest, so where do they come into the game?
Do I just, like, shoot an arrow at them and just, like, punch face brawl, see who dies first?
There's crazy stuff like that all over. Like, I was walking to a place and this giant rock comes alive and starts chasing me. I'm like, what the hell's this? And I love things like that. I love just walking into an area. And then suddenly something happens. Like, you're seeing how big and open and alive the world is, that just crazy shit just happens all around you.
Sure.
It is
a living world.
Yeah.
In the greatest sense.
There's an island on the very bottom right of the map that it took me ages to get to. I had to use the boat and the leaf to make it go. I get to the island, and it goes to me, You're now stuck on this island. Your challenge will take away all your items, and you have to solve the three puzzles with just your skills and nothing. And they take away all your items, including your clothes, and then you're stuck having to, like, scavenge around on this island.
Now that I haven't seen yet.
I think it's probably just a shrine or something, but it's really weird. It's just... Bottom part of the island, you have to find these three balls, put them into the three... things, and then you get your stuff back.
Jamie knows all about putting balls into things.
And apparently I have to be naked the whole time.
I mean, is that different?
Apparently. I met a scientist, and he said, okay, I think you're Link, but I'm not sure. Take off your clothes and show me your body.
I found that guy! He gives you super weapons and upgraded armor.
Yeah, he gives you stuff to take down the guardians and stuff.
Yeah, and he actually gives you armor, which makes you resistant to irons. Which, by the way, I've started to beat the snot out of.
Yeah.
I carry some ancient arrows with me, and you can just wreck them at any time.
It's really fun to start fucking them over after they've been such a pain for most of the game.
Yes.
Like, not being able to fight them for so long, and then suddenly being given stuff to destroy them is great.
Yeah. The only one I'm afraid to fight still is the flying one.
I've shot a couple of them. They take maybe like 3 ancient arrows to go down.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you got to shoot down their whatchamacallit, their flying parts, so that they land, and then you can wreck them in the face, which is hard to do.
True. I'm trying to think if there's anything I've encountered. Oh, I've encountered a bunch of those centaur guys, but I haven't killed one of them yet.
I've fought one. The one up on top of the mountain near the Zora city.
Oh, for
like,
the
I was just
arrows.
Like, alright, you shock killed arrows. Me. Well, no, this was after that, too. I was like, alright, you know what? I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, and you're not going to like it. This is it. I'm done with your crap. And I just went and I just fought him, and I eventually won.
Oh, sweet.
It was not an easy fight.
It's the kind of fight where I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, is there a way to do this really easily? Because I couldn't think of a way to take it down.
No, and you don't want to get your distance, too, because his arrows do way more than his blade.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out for the life of me what I need to do to beat this guy. So I've yet to go fight him. But there's like him there, and there's just one roam in a forest somewhere. I came across him for a brief moment and ran away.
I found another one in the mountains. That one kicked the crap out of me.
Yeah. There's some enemies in that game that are kind of terrifying to come up with against, especially if you're like down weapons at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like you could be running through the forest trying to hide from the wolves, and suddenly that guy clops up behind you. Like, fuck.
Hello there. My new meal.
Well, I know what's going to happen, though, is I'm going to be playing this game, and in a couple of months from now, I'm going to come across a brand new enemy that I've never seen before.
Yeah. The dragons are suddenly going to turn hostile and converge on you at once.
There'll be a certain day, and it'll be like, the blue moon is activated. I'm like, what's the blue moon? The 4 dragons combine into 1 giant dragon.
And then you have to go build, and then you have to combine the 4 divine beasts and have a Power Ranger type showdown.
You have to go Megazord. Does the Divine Beast kind of feel like a Power Ranger thing?
No, it doesn't feel like a... I didn't think of Power Rangers when I saw it, no.
Because I didn't think of them as Power Rangers until I figured out they're all based on animals. Then I kind of thought, that's a bit odd. Like, for some reason, the word Divine Beast didn't bring animal to me.
No, the first time I thought of Power Rangers was literally just now, when I was talking about combining them.
I don't know, like, you can think about it. 4 champions chosen to pilot special robotic animals.
But they don't have superpowers, they're just people.
Well, they've all got their kind of powers. Like, the Zoras can swim.
That doesn't make a superpower. That's like saying we have a superpower because we can breathe and have babies.
True. I've also been, like, collecting some of the memories, and, like, watching them, and, like, because the memories are probably the only time you feel like you have, like, the full voiced cast kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because all those characters have voice actors. Like, listening to them talk makes me think, man, the animation they've got for this would make a really cool TV show.
Now, I mean, if you can get Nintendo to agree to do one again after the horrible failures they've had in the past and what people have done to their stuff.
I'm watching this, I'm thinking, how cool a TV show would it have been if it was a lead-up to the Breath of the Wild, but it was like Link and the 4 others like training for this giant battle?
That's what the memories are. Okay, I gotta ask you now. Have you seen the memory where, it's been 2 weeks, spoiler, where Zelda finds a frog? I don't want to give anything away about it in case you haven't seen it.
I don't.
Or in case anyone out there hasn't seen it. There's one where Zelda's talking to Link, and she finds a frog, and it was like the great... I wish there was like a replay button.
You could rewatch them.
Oh, and that's one I'm going to have to rewatch it, because it's just funny.
Yeah, if you go to your, what is it called? Yeah, if you go to those pictures in your... If you go to your album, you can just rewatch those memories.
Yeah, that's one I want to rewatch. It's pretty funny. I just started laughing.
Yeah. I love it. I love the game so much. There's still so much I haven't done. There's still so much I haven't seen, but I just love what I've seen so far.
Yes. It's great stuff.
It's so great that I'm just not putting any time into any of my other games. and I'm getting really annoyed because I need to start finishing games.
But you can't because you're playing this one. Yeah, I know that feeling.
I know. Like, I recently reinstalled Titanfall 2 because I'm maybe like three quarters of the way through the campaign. I haven't yet pressed play. I've put the disc in, but it's like I've just teased it with the possibility. I think I put it in, I think it updated, and then I haven't played it.
What, Halo Wars 2?
No, Titanfall 2. Halo Wars 2 I occasionally play. Specifically, yeah. Just before this podcast.
Specifically, just before now is the only time I play it.
Does it be, yeah. I mean, hell, I still need to go back and finish Pokemon Moon. I'm really close to the end. I don't think I've dropped off because I enjoyed the game. I'm enjoying the story, and I do want to kind of see it end. I think it's because there's no gyms. That kind of doesn't. It kind of takes away that challenge kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the trials and stuff are great, but, like, I prefer to, like, fight.
It's not a replacement for a gym, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully this is... even though it is great to shake up the formula and stuff like that, hopefully they'll settle back into gyms and kind of stuff following this.
Yeah, I do like the older style, but gyms have more fun, especially when they have... Maybe if they made them harder...
Yeah. I always liked Heart Gold, Soul Silver, where you could rematch the gym leaders. But you could rematch all 16 of them. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that was a continuation. Because here's the thing. In Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, you talk to a gym leader and they talk about having a rematch sometimes, but they never like go into it. It's kind of like at one point maybe they were going to do that and then scrapped it at the last minute. It's just a weird bit of dialogue which goes, hey, we should have a rematch sometime. It's like, okay.
Well, I think that was just like regular dialogue then, because I mean, that's something people tend to say when they're being, you know, good, honorable opponents in that.
I kind of wish you could just do that anytime. Like, just walk up with your legendary Pokemon, just like, oi, gym leader, challenge me. Like, I just have a Geodude. Go on then.
Actually, you know what? He like throws out his Geodude and it like eats your bird.
I just use
it, and then it bangs the other one. Like, yes, you can't stop the rock. Can you smell what it's cooking?
You throw it out, use a self destruct, blows you up, but it still lives.
The city's gone, and Brock's just standing there, looks like hands in the air, and just goes. Aah!
It uses self destruct, but it survives because its ability is sturdy. So it's the only thing left living in this whole crater. Chimney is dead. It's like, I'm free. God.
Man. It's just... Gaming's, I think, in a nice spot. Yeah. Don't you agree? Yeah. But, you know what? You know what's not related to gaming that we forgot to talk about last week?
We've been wanting to talk about this for a couple of weeks, really, but...
Yeah, is Logan... So, just going to say it now, I am going to happily say Logan is one of the greatest films I've seen in a long time.
Right. Without a doubt, it's the best X-Men movie.
That's
no competition, really, because it's... But it's like... It's not just a good superhero movie, it's a good movie in general. Like,
yes. I've heard it, and I agree with this. It is actually almost more of a Western in terms of tone and genre.
I see that, yeah. It's definitely got that grittiness to it.
And it's hard for me to explain it, but I like it.
It's very much like where the actors are the most important thing you're seeing. Like, the thing with...
They act the hell out of that movie.
Yeah. You watch them for their acting, their performance comes first, and then it's like other stuff behind it. Like, it's not like you're watching, like, it's not like when you watch like a Superman movie and you just want to wait until he hits sync. You're watching this movie and you like the conversations yeah. that's going on between them. You like the interactions that the characters are having.
Yeah, we're almost like a. It's definitely more about the characters, and it does such a great job with them too. Like Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart both put like some of the greatest performances I've seen from them, and then Daphne Keene, who plays X-23, is she almost outacts Patrick Stewart.
She is probably the most amazing child actor, and even better than that, the most amazing actor who doesn't speak until an hour into the movie.
Yeah, and you know what? We need more of her later on. If they, like, because this is an alternate universe, if they discard her, I will be furious.
Like Wolverine, the Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. You don't want to see anyone replace him. But she is X-23. You don't want to see anyone replace her. Like, yeah. The performance she gave, like, I'd watch sequels with her, like, if like, in a couple Absolutely. Of years when she's a bit older and they're, like, having her do
or
the
whole 23 thing. If they find a way to incorporate her into, like, the current universe, like, you know, still my long-standing hopeful theory, like, if they end up having them in at the end of Infinity War, the X-Men,
yeah.
I'd want to see her there.
Yeah. Like, if you could pick and choose what characters you want, like, to just show up at the end of Avengers, that's like...
Absolutely her. I want to see her just wreck things.
Yeah. Like, if they did a... like, there's talk of a doing, like, a New Mutants movie, like, of, like, getting, like, a, of, like, the young mutants and getting, like, young actors to play, like, New Mutant characters. Like, her being there...
We tried that already.
No, this is, like, playing young mutants that are actually young mutants in the comics kind of thing, not, like, just making Jean Grey 19 or something. Like, I can't really describe it. It's like, I mean, you know the character Wolfbane, who turns into a wolf? That's her power.
Yeah.
Those kind of characters.
Maybe. Oh, you mean like in the comics, the characters I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's like a character who turns into a wolf, and like... Yeah, that kind of thing. But like if they just introduce like a new team, a new bunch of like young child mutants, similar to how they actually do at the end of this movie, like introduce more like... You know, more for variety, because I'll say this, while X-23 and her power was like claws, and she had the toe claws because she was female, and then you had, that's kind of it.
I don't know my new...
No. No. Okay, what
I'm saying. I was about to be like, yeah. I don't know... I don't know my stuff, so I'm probably not going to be able to say much. And then Jamie goes, and that's it. You know literally as okay. much as I do. We know nothing about newer comics.
Here's what I'm going to say.
That was amazing.
Her and her power and the main leader of the kids are the only two who are actual comic book characters. The rest were kind of like made up kind of thing. Like, the guy Richter who's got the power of like... He like generates earthquakes kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're the ones that had like interesting powers that I'd like to see again. The rest of them were kind of just, they weren't nothing overly special. Like that one kid could shock people with his fingers. I mean, like,
okay, I think I see what you mean. Yeah. Maybe.
Like, yeah, I can understand. Sure. Like, let's say there's 23. So there's 23 kids given powers until they got to X-24, which was the perfect mutant clone. You can understand why she was X-23, because she was easily the most impressive. That's what I kind of mean. But I'm just...
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, if they did, like, a future movie leading off from where this left off with, like, her and, like, a new team of mutants, I'd mostly want it to be characters from the comics and not the kids that are in the movie, not because nothing wrong with the kids, it's just I prefer like some more interesting, diverse, new, interesting powers. Like the girl who turns into a wolf. I think that's a pretty interesting power.
I mean, that's kind of a werewolf.
No, she has two forms. She has the human wolf hybrid form, and then she just becomes a wolf. I don't get it. Like, sometimes she turns into a wolf on two legs, and then sometimes she's just a normal wolf.
It depends on whether you need to write.
Maybe it depends on the moon. Oh, it's a full moon today. I don't know.
Now it's only a sliver moon.
Yeah. But let's rewind a bit and talk about the actual movie instead of skipping right to the end. So another character they had in here was they had Stephen Merchant as Caliban, the albino tracker mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, I like about this character is I like Stephen Merchant. He's a funny guy. And they kind of... But what they did with his character is they didn't just make him the dumb comic relief. He still had, like, a purpose and he still had kind of a thing. Like, they established with him... Because in the comics, Caliban's a bad guy. But he's not, like, a bad guy. He's, like, a guy for money kind of thing. Like, whoever's paying him, he goes with. But they established in this, because of the world the way it is, mutants are scarce and whatever. Caliban wants to do something good. He wants to protect Professor X because... I mean, if your powers sensing mutants and all the mutants die, you're kind of going to be out of the job. So that's the kind of thing I got the sense out of him. It's like, even though he was kind of doing a good thing, you could still see a way where he was doing it for himself kind of thing. Like, and I'm assuming he was probably getting paid or something as well to basically look after Charles.
Probably. It was just a good movie. You should definitely go see it.
Yeah.
Definitely best X-Men movie of all time, and I'd say better than Civil War.
Yeah. I'll agree to that. I'll also agree that they are completely different tones, but I will agree that it's...
Oh yes, completely different tone. Way darker than Civil War. But still just, I think, amazing.
I'll say this as well. I say it had probably one of the most charismatic villains ever. The guy with the robot hat.
I just was waiting for him to die. I didn't find him interesting whatsoever.
He was never like a physical threat, which is why they had to bring in the clone of Wolverine. But I just found like his delivery and the way he spoke and the way he like he was in a world where like these mutants exist and like they basically were celebrities at one point. And he basically gets in a car with Wolverine. He's like, you could tell like he's just like grinning on the inside of just the fact that he's getting a threat in Wolverine and Wolverine's not just murdering him in seconds.
No, what's funny is like I find it funny how you say it. Like he gets a threat in Wolverine. Like, he had to know Wolverine would eat him alive if he wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, I can, like, imagine, like, he had, like, when he got in that limo and Wolverine's at the front, he was probably prepared. There was a part of him where he was thinking, I might die, but at least I get to meet Wolverine.
And then die some more.
Like, you don't do that kind of job and not expect, there's not a possibility you could die. Like, every single one of those robot guys... Because there was a bunch of them, they all had robot parts. Like, every single one of them knew that they could die.
And they did.
They did.
In horrible ways.
I did love the one that was, like, choking the girl, and the girl just freezes his hand and shatters his arm.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, you said you wanted the guy with the robot hand, you were waiting for him to die. He went out in a horrible way.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
He got swallowed by the ground.
And other things.
They were all just shooting him with their respective powers. He's being shocked. He's being, like, frozen. And he's just being dragged underground by the grass. Like, dear God. Like, I bet the thing that most annoyed him about that was the fact that it wasn't Wolverine killing him. Like, he went out, he was killed by a bunch of children.
These are the people I wanted!
Yep. But then... It's basically the end of the movie. Or basically, this movie is the definitive end of the X-Men, I think. In terms of, like, this is their full stop. Like, this is... At this point, every original X-Men is basically dead now. Do you agree with that?
I guess we'll see. I mean... A lot of them are getting up there in age, so I guess it's not really possible to continue, huh? It makes me kind of sad.
Yeah. Like, it's made clear in the movie that Charles had an attack and killed 7 X-Men.
Like, yes. No, all of them. Well, in the movie. By the way, spoilers, in case you haven't watched this movie, by the way, Jamie's just throwing it all out there now.
I don't care.
I mean,
should have seen it by now.
No, this is the thing, is that if I don't stop you, you'll just go through and you will spoil everything you see.
Oh, I will, but it's like...
Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, I would... I spoil things that I've seen. Like, it'd be weird if I started spoiling Legend of Zelda even though I haven't finished it.
No, JB loves to talk about things, and he doesn't care who hears.
Yeah, try. The end of Beauty and the Beast, he becomes a man.
Too soon.
Too soon. I'm talking about the 1991 release.
That does remind me of hearing about people who are unhappy that this Titanic was being spoiled for them.
True. Yeah, they're not going to live. They're both kind of going to go.
We kind of knew this. I mean, if you didn't know that, then there's something up.
Can I say I don't like the Titanic movie?
Why not?
I don't get the love story.
They're kids, they're teenagers, and they want to bang.
Yeah, but it's just... No, this is what I don't like. I don't like that the old lady's on the boat at the end, with like all these sailors, and with her grandchildren. Like, it's established that she's had children.
Yeah.
But yet she dies, and she just goes back to him. Like, did the rest of her life mean nothing to her? The only time I was happy was when I was on a sinking ship.
I don't know. I'm not old. I don't know how it works. Don't ask me.
I don't know. Like, these poor grandchildren probably, like, spent money trying to get her to find this bit of jewellery. Or whatever it is she was doing. I don't really remember that bit. And all she's thinking about, all she's doing is sitting on the boat to know about the time she banged some guy on a boat.
You mean you don't tell your children about that?
Like, can you imagine how awkward that was? She goes, then we went down to the garages, and we got in the car, and we made sweet, passionate love. We left...
Probably no more awkward than it was for Anne Frank's father.
And they're like, Grandma! And then she's like, and then we went upstairs, and I undressed, and he drew me in the nude. I'm like, Grandma, shut up! I have the picture.
Like I said, right? Probably not worse than Anne Frank's father.
What did Anne Frank's father do?
Having to edit her journal.
Yeah,
that happens in real life, friend. I'm sorry. Your kids are going to find out all things about you that they don't want to know, and vice versa.
I'm going to just go ahead and start telling my story to a bunch of sailors.
Well, like I said, when you don't have a long time to live, who cares?
One of the sailors was Bill Paxton, I just remembered. Rest in peace again to him.
Yeah.
Dude, that one cuts me up. I recently, what was it I saw? I was recently rewatching some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically episodes that he was in. He was a compelling villain. He was a good villain. Because he was a twist villain. Like, you fully believed that he was a good guy, and then suddenly he's like, oh no, I'm evil.
Yeah, that I kind of annoyed me. I wanted to shoot him in his prick face.
He's the kind of villain who just, like, he was like, I'm evil. Also, I'm crazy. I love villains like that. I love villains who just go completely nuts the minute they're like, as soon as they're like, accept the fact that everyone knows they're evil, they're like, alright, now I'm evil, now I'm going to show it. He, like, sticks his hand in this general and pulls out a rib. That's great.
I don't have to look anymore.
Yeah. That's the kind of villain I'd be. Not that I'd ever, you know, go evil, but if I ever went in the rabbit hole, I'd go deep.
What the heck, Jamie?
That's a saying, isn't it?
If I ever went the rabbit hole, I'd go deep. What on earth?
You know, go deep in the rabbit hole, go nuts.
It's just the way you said that. It's just...
You gotta commit.
Oh, man. You gotta commit.
You gotta commit to being crazy.
I don't know what to say. I really don't.
Can we talk about the episode of Flash this week? Because it was kind of funny.
Alright, guys, put in your earplugs. Here goes Jamie's continued rant against DC movies and films. Mostly the TV series.
Okay. Actually, I've got some things to say about the movies, too.
I'm not surprised.
But the Flash episode this week was the big singing episode, where they did a musical. Do you want to try and figure out why they did a musical?
Was it the Music Meister?
It was, yes.
Okay. Was he played by Neil Patrick Harris?
He was not, no. He is played by one of the guys from Glee. Now, what they did with the Music Meister is they kind of switched him up a bit. He's not necessarily a bad guy. He's just... They kind of hint he's not human and he's not an alien, but he's from like another dimension. Like he's an all-powerful being who just likes to fuck with people kind of thing.
Okay. There are lots of those.
Yeah, there's a... It's like that, he's similar to that Superman villain, the imp guy from the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
I'll never say his name, but...
Yeah, I know who you mean.
But yeah, so like, Supergirl and the Flash have both been having issues in the love department. With other people, not with each other.
I was about to say, like, are they banging now?
It'd be a bit weird, like, it'd be a very long-distance relationship considering they live in separate universes.
I thought they lived in the same universe now.
No, Supergirl lives on Earth 38 and everyone else is Earth 1.
Oh.
Don't know why.
That's rude.
You'd think they would just find a way of making it all one Earth, but no. So yeah, so they both get put into comas, in which they wake up and they're in like a musical movie with all the characters from the different DC television shows that can sing. Just happens to be there.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where you go to sleep and you're like, oh, all the people who can sing. What a coincidence. But yeah, they just they sing a couple of songs, then they have the realization that they need to start loving their respective partners again and trusting them. Then they come back to life. Or not come back to life, they wake up from the coma.
Comas!
It's always a coma. It's a musical coma. The Music Meister just happens to walk in. He says, see, I like you guys. I like the heroes. So I'm proud of you. And I just want you to be happy. And he just vanishes into thin air.
Huh.
It's very sudden and out of nowhere. But like the only thing that it does is it makes the two romantic couples like... It fixes their problems in like a second, just so the shows can move on to their finale kind of area.
So they can do what Jamie wants to see them do.
Basically, it was basically like what would normally have been like 3 or 4 episodes of like drama about whether or not they're going to get back together. The Music Master just came in, made them sing for a bit, and now suddenly they're back in love.
Hmm. We got the music,
yep.
And we're in love.
But while that was all colourful and happiness and all that, the Justice League trailer came out this week.
Oh, I hadn't seen that yet. I should probably look at it, find it.
Let me just say, I don't want to spoil it for you. It's a trailer, but I still don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay.
But dear God, can they not put like a black and white filter on the entire thing? Like, it gives me a headache. Like, I saw this comment on Twitter and it was like, It looks like every DC movie takes place between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m.
Hmm.
Just because it's always dark, it's always black, and you can always not tell what's happening. It's like they've got this budget for a CG, but it's not good enough, so they just make it dark so you don't really see what they're fighting.
They do that on purpose so that you can't see what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing either.
Probably. But it's annoying because they had... You know, it looks like they're doing things that are pretty good. Like, it looks enjoyable. It looks fun. But, like,
Keyword, looks.
Everything's just either black and darkness because it's at night, or it's just got that grainy filter on it. Like, you have eyes. You look at something and you see the color that it is, right?
You have eyes, yes. Yes, now, Jamie, like, I'm not colorblind.
Now, like, imagine if you got, like, a glass of water, and then you poured, like, a bunch of coffee in it, so it got all brown and dark and murky. Imagine if you stuck that against your eye, because that's apparently what Zack Snyder sees. Like, is it too much to just have movies in the exact same kind of color that we see in real life?
Jamie gives no F's right now.
It's like the whole movie's been filmed and then they put like an Instagram filter on it. It's like, I don't like that. I want everything to have the same like look to it, the same colour. Like, the problem with Green Lantern, going back a bit, was that it was too cartoony and it was too bright and it was too shiny. Everything since then, they've just, like, dialed down the colour. Like, they've just turned the brightness down. Like, it just... Like, a movie stops looking enjoyable to me when it just...
Yeah.
When it just doesn't look like it's fun because the colour's taken away. Like, you need a bit of, like, shininess. You need a little bit of bright. You need a little bit of, you know... I'll tell you this. I've seen that trailer. I watched it 3 times. I don't know what colour Aquaman's arbor is. Because every time he's on screen, he's like in like some sort of darkness. There's a police scene where they're standing next to the bat signal. Everything's black, including the bat signal. But the bat signal's apparently glowing a dark grey light. It's frustrating. Just give us some colour.
I don't think... This is probably the second angriest I've ever seen you at something DC has done. It's like half of this podcast is a way for you to vent your anti-DC murder boner.
I don't hate DC. I just want color.
You seem to! Because every time we have a podcast and they're mentioned, you're mad about something.
Alright. I'll say this. Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad. They don't look like they're in the same universe because one of them is black and white and the other one fucked crayons.
What? Jeez, Jamie.
Do you get what I mean, though? Batman v Superman is just grey, it's just boring, it's that kind of thing.
I honestly wouldn't know because I didn't go to watch it, remember?
That's right. And then Suicide Squad is just bright lights every 2 seconds, like, yeah, bloody rave. Like, can we just have, like, a definitive colour for the entire universe? And not just, like, switching it around depending on the character. It frustrates me. Like, Logan's a dark, gritty movie, but at least you could see it. Like, if you... Like, think of Logan... Like, the colours in Logan are pretty natural, right?
Yeah, it flows pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the sand, they're driving through sand. It looks like sand. It's, like, got that yellowy glow to it kind of thing. Or like...
It's rough, it's coarse, it gets in everywhere.
Yeah. It's the sand you love. Now imagine that like a DC movie, that would look like that would look grey for some reason. Like, is it something about DC comic books? Are DC comic books black and white?
No.
Do they just guess what colour Superman is based on nothing?
We know what colour is, Jamie. Relax. Chill your... To borrow a phrase from Heather, call them your tits.
My tits just want colour.
Oh, Jamie, I just don't know what to say about you.
I just want everything to be a nice, normal colour.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's just... I'm sorry. You're driving me a little crazy, it's making me laugh.
And that's all I have to say, like... There were some jokes in the trailer which were good. There was some action which was great, but like, I just want to look like I'm watching a normal today movie and not feel like I've got coloured contacts blocking my sight or something.
I don't know what to tell you, Jamie.
It's just... I don't even know anymore. Like,
I definitely don't know, and I've been sitting here.
Like, the problem with the trailers is, like, I show these trailers to my family. I'll show my family a Marvel trailer, mm-hmm. and I'll show them a DC trailer. And, like, it's always the same response at the moment. It's like, we'll see that, not really interested in that. And it's like, it's not a bad trailer, it's just... They need to make it look a bit more exciting, a bit more fun, a bit more interesting.
It apparently needs more color.
That's all I'm saying. Like,
Jamie's losing his brain over here. There's no words for what Jamie's going through right now. He's just going through raw brain power.
I've got the grayscale syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm just coming down with the gray.
Well, we're going to let you recover from grayscale syndrome, and we're going to let the people get back to what they're doing. So, thanks everybody for watching.
Does that mean you're going to stop playing Mass Effect again?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm going
to... Thanks everyone for watching. We hope you enjoyed listening to this. Jamie, no, he's not certifiably insane. It's okay. And we will see you guys again next time. Goodbye, everybody.
I'm going to go look at some paint.